Parshas Vayishlach has always been recognized as a parasha that is not merely recording a historic event of Klal Yisrael meeting the early fledgling Klal Yisrael, i.e. Yaakov and his children meeting Esau, but really it is an introduction to how Klal Yisrael have to deal with Esau in the future generations. Rabbi Yanai, the Gemara brings down Rabbi Yanai when he'd go to Rome and meet with the emperor there, he would learn carefully Parshas Vayishlach to know how to relate to the emperor. Now the Parshas Vayishlach is a very, very detailed, deep, hidden secret of how to relate on a level of Seichel, and on a level of Torah, and on a level of Kabbalah, as it were, with regards to our enemies Esau. To such an extent, as I saw fantastic, fantastic understanding of it, the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer brings down that a remez, Nisuk's Parsha, Alpi Gematria, he says, don't you think for one second that Parsha of Yishach only applied to Yaakov fighting Esau? Yaakov, in fact, in Nisuk's Parsha, talks about the ness of Yaakov fighting Esau in the time of Haman. Where do you find that from? So he says over here, he says, isn't this, it's one of the most beautiful, beautiful commandments. He says, Hatzileni no miyad, ochi miyad Esau. Hatzileni no miyad, Hatzileni no miyad, hey nun mem, is Rosh Tevet Haman. Hatzileni no miyad, ochi miyad Esau, hey nun mem, or hey mem nun, you can switch around, is Haman. So Yaakovin is talking about later on, getting a vua of what's going to happen with the Muhammad against Haman later on. Hats Lady Normiya. Okay? So he says that this. Yaakov says, Hats Lady Normiya Ochmiyad Esau. And later on in the parasha, it says, one second. The Rebach Tosimu ben Eda le'Eda in Pasuk Yud Zayin. He gave the different gifts. Vita men yadavod of Eda Eda levada, each Eda by itself. Vayayime aravod of Ivru lefonai, the Rebach Tosimu ben Eda ben Eda. Says the Chasam Sofer almost a Piruach HaKodesh. He says, what is the gematria of Eder? Eder is a gematria, Ayin is 70, Dalad is 4, Reish is 200, so 274. Okay, that's Eder. The gematria of Mordechai is Mem is 40, Resh is 200, Dalad is 4, is 244, plus Chof is 20, plus Yud is 30, is 274. So Eder is gematria Mordechai, okay? There's another Eder as well. The Eder at the time of Yaakov was Rochel is Resh is 200, Ches is 8, Lamed is 30, 238, plus Leah is 30, plus Aleph and Hay is 6, plus 36, i.e. 238 plus 36 is also 274. So Eder is Mordechai, 274, and Eder is Rachel Leah, 274. In other words, just like I'm having a fight now with Esau, so too there'll be later on a fight with Haman, and I will represent myself as Mordechai, i.e. the force representing Klal Yisrael will be Mordechai against Esau. There will be an Eder then and an Eder now. What's the difference between an Eder then and an Eder now? There's one difference. Here Yaakov Avinu asked for, Hatzileni no miyad och miyad Esau. Save me. Just save me. Hatzileni no, save me. He didn't ask more than being saved. He didn't ask for anything more than that. Says the parasha later on, because never asked for anything more than just being saved, he never got a revach. He never got absolute calm. Later on, immediately after this, you have an next parasha dealing with Yosef, right? So all he got was a hatzolah. All he got was he was saved, but he never got a revach. He never got absolutely everything that he needed to calm down and live a normal life. In a time of Mordechai, it was revach v'hatzolah lamed la'yehudim. They got saved and they got a revach. Okay? So now, what's the difference between Eder then and Eder now, says the Pasuk? The Yitim Bayada Vodov. Eder Levadoi. Each Eder. The Eder at the time of Mordechai. And the aid of the time of Rachel and Leah is the Vado. Each one is different. V'yoyim el Avodov, and he said to his Avodov, Ivru lefonai, go in front of me, i.e. in the future in Klal Yisrael, what's the difference? V'revach tosimu ben Eder le'Eder. The difference between Eder now, of Rachel and Leah, and the difference between later on, the Eder of Mordechai, is one word. Revach tosimu. The revach separates us. In other words, in the future it's going to be revach v'hatzola, and now there's no revach. So the revach tosimu ben Eder le'Eder. There's not going to be a revach in our time now of this Eder of Rachel and Leah, but there will be a revach in the future of Mordechai, revach v'hatzola lama la'Yehudim. Do you see that? In other words, Yaakov Avinu is telling his Avod of exactly what's going to happen not only now, but in many, many hundreds of years later with a fight between Klal Yisrael's survival against Haman and Mordechai. Revach to Sima Be'eder Le'eder. The difference between Eder now and Eder then is going to be the word Revach. Now we only have Atzola, then you're going to have Revach Atzola. Okay? So you see that the focus of this week's parasha is not talking about what happened then of Yaakov and Esau. It's actually what's happening now. It's actually happening every generation.
Does that mean Mordechai is somehow greater than Yaakov on that level, that he was able to get to Israel?
Exactly why the parasha actually has a problem, why Yaakov asked later on in the parasha, Bikesh Yaakov later v'shal, Yaakov wanted to relax, as it were. Some portions say, what, Yaakov wanted to play golf? He wanted to sit right with his Divrei Torah. And a kotzol of reitzos of Yosef, there's a discussion why exactly Yaakov got punished for wanting to have this revach, but the Maaseh he didn't have the revach. Why exactly? We don't know. But the Maaseh then was revach batzala. Okay, revach tzim ben eder leeder. There's always been a danger for Klal Yisrael falling into one of two traps. One trap is called the concentration camp, and one trap is called assimilation. The communists in the early 1915, 1916, they wanted to annihilate the Jewish nation in three waves. A third, assimilation. A third, annihilation. And a third, when they leave the country, that is called
deportation.
Okay, that is what's going to happen. And that is, in other words, Klal Yisrael have always had a double fight. Assimilation and annihilation. Hatzileni no miyad ochi umiyad esof. We are threatened, miyad ochi, is when Esau puts his arm around us, that's miyad ochi, my brother, and it's also miyad Esau, when Esau shows his ugly face and tries to kill us. There's two very, very dangerous threats Klal Yisrael have. We have a threat of the concentration camps, and we have a threat of assimilation. Many, many, many Jews today are dying on a regular basis, marrying out, and dying out through assimilation, through miyad ochi. There's no mention of any Jews who went to Japan or China a few hundred years ago because they're completely married out, because there's absolutely no anti-Semitism there. And therefore, there's Miyad Ochi and Miyad Esav. On one hand, we want anti-Semitism, because that's what keeps us. On the other hand, don't eat too much, otherwise you have Esav, who's going to completely annihilate us. The Koshnitz and Magid, when Napoleon was sweeping through Europe and emancipating all the Jews, he davened that Napoleon should be defeated, because he was petrified what will happen when the Pale of Settlements will fall apart and the Jews will be accepted in universities. He was petrified. He said he prefers to be in the ghettos and Napoleon defeated than be a regular equal with all the goyim and chas v'shalom be involved in Miyad Ochi. The Chasam Sofer gives a moshel of a famous moshel of a wind and the sun. The wind and the sun had a competition, who can take the coat off somebody. So the wind blows and blows and blows and blows, and the more the wind blows, try to blow the coat off, the tighter the person wraps upon themselves. So the sun said, you finished? You through? Yep, I'm through. The sun comes out, shines a little bit, I'm the chai, the person takes his coat off, and that's it, the sun won. So that's what happens with the goyim. The goyim, they blow and they blow and they blow, and it gets colder and colder, the Jews go tighter and tighter. They keep isolated from the goyim, they become stronger. A little bit of warmth, and they take the coat off, and that's it, they're with the goyim. So there's always a fight between Miyad Ochi and Miyad Esav.
Who says
that? Chasam Sofer. There's always a fight Miyad Ochi and Miyad Esav. On one hand, there's Miyad Ochi being too friendly with the goyim, and Miyad Esav being anti-Semitism. Now, Vesai, I don't know whether this parasha would have taken place 10, 15 years ago, the way it's going to be given over today. But there's a phenomena that is so incredible in today's life. It's so incredible. And I think, you know, we're not very old, but we can see within our own eyes how things are developing in today's world, which we never dreamt of 20 years ago. Our biggest enemy, and the world's biggest enemy, as far as the Western world is concerned, is clearly Yishmol. It's clearly Yishmol, is Islam. The threat of Islam was so minimal 20 years ago. It was a few PLO with a couple of hijackings. But it wasn't against America. It wasn't against jihad in Israel, in England, or wherever it may be. Yesterday, or 2 days ago, the Swiss make a referendum against having these towers being built by the mosques. Right? And they're petrified what the Muslims are going to say. We're under threat of Islam. And Rabbi Isai, this is serious. Why? The parasha says, "Vayira Yaakov ma'oy vayetzelo." Yaakov is very afraid. Pasuk Ches. Why is he very afraid? Says the Medrash. "Vayira Yaakov ma'oy." Yaakov was afraid of two things: Kibud Avim and Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Esav had two things he didn't have. All those years, Esav could fulfill Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael, and looking after his parents. And Yaakov never had that. "Vayira Yaakov ma'oy vayetzelo." He's very, very afraid of those two tzchusim. Asked the Mefarshim. Big deal! He had those two schusim. But what else did he have? On one day, he says, he came back to the parasha, but he was very tired. Says the Medrash, five averis chamuras he did on that day. Five averis he did on that day. So big deal! He had those two things. Yeah? He has a kibbut of aim and Israel. So Yaakov had ishtam yeshavol in Tarek mitzvah shamati. Why is he so afraid? So we have to know that a mitzvah cannot be pushed away. Just because you have more mitzvahs does not mean the other person has a schus. One has to look out on the other person's schus and be afraid of the schus this person may have, because the person's schus may be able to vanquish you. It's a very, very frightening thought. Just because you're a great tzaddik, you can still go look at the other person's schusim. It's brought a story over here, Rabbi Yeruchim, when he was an emir, he stood in Rehov Nebelsky, Nelbeki, in Warsaw, in Warsaw. And he's looking out. So one of the Talmidim said, "What are you looking at?" He said he was very, 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 very impressed by the Polish Yidden, by the Polish Jews in Warsaw. He said, "I can never walk around with these people. They're walking around with their long payers and their bekiches and their hats." He said, "I'll be embarrassed to walk around like that." He said, "What gewaldig of people. What gewaldig of chus to look like a Jew. I don't know whether I could walk around with such big beards and such big payers." Ach, but even Biruchim is biggest Baal Musa. Yeah? Still, every little chus that other person has that you don't have, you've got to be afraid of. Even an Esav, who has five various chamuras, but if he's got a schus, you've got to be very, very afraid. The Zohar HaKadosh brings down that in the end of days, Yishmol will be very, very successful. Why? Because they have the schus of Bris Milah. They have the schus of Bris Milah. They have the schus of Avos Eretz Yisrael. But he brings the schus of Bris Milah. And he brings down, Adam and Porsche bring down, they have the schus of Tefillah. They have the schus of Tefillah. You know, if you ever see Arabs praying, it's quite frightening, because they actually take it very, very seriously. And if you ever go to us once at Amsterdam Airport, and they have an interfaith room, it's not a church, they have no crosses there, interfaith room. So I decided to dive minchem there, you know, put a bit of the kedusha back into the table and the teachers and whatever. And I was davening there, and a few of our brethren davening there with us, Baruch Hashem, and on the other side, a few of our cousins, and they were actually davening quite seriously, you know, proper bending down and concentrating. They weren't answering the mobile phones in the middle of Mania Shmirabu. And that was quite frightening. In other words, these people have schusim, and we have to be afraid, very afraid, that these people actually are going to be zoicha to win over major parts of the world before the defeat. And therefore, the year Yaakov Vayetzel, you've got to be very, very afraid. So therefore, we are living in a world today of not only Miad Ochi, Miad Esav, but we have Yishmol thrown into the picture, and have to be very afraid that the schus that they have, the year Yatmai of the Yetzirah, could actually affect us. So how do we deal with this? So first of all, there's a famous story in 1936 in Germany, exactly where it was in Brimberg, probably it's in Germany somewhere, the Knesset Gedolah of the Agudat Yisrael. They were discussing in 1936 the anti-Semitism that was obviously sweeping through Europe at that stage. And various different rabbonim were standing up and discussing exactly how to deal with anti-Semitism and how to counter it and how we should take precautions, etc., etc. At the end, the Ponovitch Rav stood up. And the Ponovitch Rav said, "I want to give you a moshel, Rabbi Yitzchai." Ponovitch Rav was perfect in moshel. "I want to give you a moshel. in the middle of the city, there was a house that went on fire. And people were afraid for the people inside, so all came around to save this house. And inside they saw this man fast asleep on a bed. Fast asleep on a bed. So what do? So they start picking up the bed, and they start trying to shut the bed through the door. But the bed is wider than the door. So what do? So they start bringing the axes and start bashing on the walls around it. Yeah, and the fire is spreading, and they're getting choking and coughing from the smoke. And this person's fast asleep, and they're trying to knock the wall down, and it doesn't help. And this guy, the bed still doesn't fit through the door. So one person looks and says, what are you doing here? Wake the guy up! Tell him to wake him up, give him a bit of a shake, and schlep him out. What bring the bed out for? So the point of it, you're off. Today we think about how to counter anti-Semitism with the United Nations and counter anti-Semitism with the League of Nations, whoever it may be. Crazy stuff. You're trying to shove a bed through the door. Wake up! Tell Clarisol to wake up. Wake them up and tell them the house is on fire. Shut them out of the house that way. Today, with anti-Semitism, we have all different PR movements. End of the day, you're trying to shove the bed through a very, very narrow entrance. All we've got to do now is wake up Cloudy Soul. Say, Cloudy Soul, wake up, there's a fire. And when you wake up, they'll walk out the house themselves. That is what we've got to do today. We've got to push it, wake them up. I saw a Ksav Sofer. A fascinating Ksav Sofer says like this. He says, in Pasuk, hey, Vayitzav Oysham Lemo, he commanded the Malachim to say to Esav like this, Koi soimu l'Adonia l'Esav, so you should say to Adonia Esav, to my master Esav, Koi oma avtecho Yaakov, so said Ye'eved Yaakov, Im lovon garti ve'echa ad otto, with lovon I have dwelt, or I have dwelt as a ger, ve'echa otto, and I have waited till now, Vayihili, and I have shoi v'chamoyer, I have oxen, I have donkeys, soim ve'eved, sheep, and avodim v'shivchos, ve'eshlecho lahagid la'adoini, and I've sent you to tell to my master, limsa chayim beinecho, to find favor in your eyes. Now, Rabbi, why does Esav hate Yaakov? Because he took the brachas, right? In other words, what Esav thought was he deserved, as Esav, yeah, well, he deserved the brachas, Yaakov took, i.e., all the material benefits that Esav was supposed to get, he felt that Yaakov took. So now Yaakov is trying to calm Esav down. Just tell Esav, by the way, I'm a multimillionaire, you should calm down. You know, I've got Shoyu, I've got Chamoyer, I've got Eved, I've Shifkois. Yeah? Limsechein benecho, to make you happy. On the contrary, it's going to drive him crazy, it's going to drive him nuts, he didn't show up, he took away my brachas. Yeah? Question number one. Right? Question number two, Rashi says, what's Peshat in Novan Garti? Says Rashi, Lovon Garti, Dova Acher, Garti Begematria Tariag. Garti is Matria Tariag, 613. Kolema, Im Lovon Harosha Garti, I live with Lovon Harosha, Garti as a Ger, the Tarag Mitzvah Shemarti, I said the Tarag Mitzvahs, the Loyla Madati Mamaisha Vroim, I did not learn from his bad actions. Wow. Oh, so Yaakov's been living by Lovon, and he kept all the Mitzvahs. So Esau got two messages to him. Number one, I never miss Mincha. Baruch Hashem, yeah, I'm spying away by Lovon. I miss absolutely not a single mitzvah. I'm sure that'll make you very happy. And number two, I've got to tell you, that I'm a multimillionaire, I'm lacking absolutely nothing. And that's supposed to find limsah chayn beinachot, to find chayn in the eyes of Esau. How is that going to do it? On the contrary, say, Esau, listen, I'm not such a great guy. You know, I'm not doing very well in my learning. I'm not doing very well financially. Don't be jealous of me. You know, let's reconcile, let's come together again. I'm a big tzaddik and a multimillionaire. What's the idea here? How's that going to calm him down? Says Ksav Sofer something very, very fascinating. This is the Chiddush. And he says that anti-Semitism, you have to attempt dialogue. You have to attempt dialogue. In other words, nobody has ever stood up in history and said we hate Jews because we hate Jews. We hate Jews. Today nobody hates Jews. They hate Zionists. Zionism. No, we don't hate Jews. We hate Zionists. Yeah? Even Hitler, when he stood up and he ranted against the Jews, he never said, let's kill the Jews because we hate them. He said, we have to kill the Jews because Juden sind unser Unglück. Jews are our bad luck. They take away all our money. Yeah? Jews have an element of, you know, the conspiracy of world domination. Yeah, Jews run everything that goes on in the world. We run everything. We have control of everything. That's why we've had the Holocaust, and that's why we've had the Crusades, and that's why we've been annihilated time and time again. Yeah, but Jews control everything. And therefore, we've got to save the world from the Jews. The Jews are stealing our money. You know, the Jews even made a conspiracy to blow down, to knock down the Twin Towers in order to make the Arabs look bad. And that's why on that particular day, less Jews were killed than should have been killed. It was a Jewish conspiracy. Yeah, Jews. You know, we don't hate Jews for what they are. We hate Jews for stealing our money, for killing our babies, for the matzahs. Whatever it may be, that is the idea. But we don't hate Jews for hating Jews. Because no person can legitimize his hatred for the Jews as much as he has it with absolutely no reason behind it. Therefore, we have to stick it for a particular reason. Esau hated Yaakov. Why? Because till now he's telling Yaakov, you know why I hate you? Because you are a faker. You pretend to be such a tzaddik. You go to Yitzchak and make it as if you're Ishtam Yosef Aholim. You don't deserve the brachas. I deserve the brachas. You're the Rasha. I'm the tzaddik. No, the Arabs today are making us the aggressor. We are the ones who are taking away their land. We are the ones who have no right. We have no right as a nation. The Jews are a nation since the beginning of history. Palestinians, there is no tribe called Palestine. There's no such tribe called Palestinians. This is a hop-notch people who put themselves into a nation by terms named by Shimon Peres, called them Palestinians for the first time, and they bought into that hook, line, and sinker. Right? And therefore, they totally legitimize our rights to Eretz Yisrael. In other words, we have to attempt as best we can to tell them what you're doing is absolutely wrong. You cannot delegitimize us at all. Yaakov says to Esau like this, Esau, you believe I fake? Fine. In Yitzchok's house, maybe I faked. Maybe I pretend to be a tzaddik when I'm not. But tell me, when I go to Lavan's house, and who's Lavan living with? A bunch of wheeler dealers. A bunch of crooks. A bunch of mafia. I'm going to be a good guy there. Why should I? I'm just making myself unpopular. Says Yaakov, Im Lavan Garti, V'tarig Mitzvah Shemati, V'lo Lamati Maisa Maron. Even over there, I didn't miss a beat within my Torah. I followed my mitzvahs absolutely perfectly. I did not make myself comfortable with these people. And that's why I am a tzaddik. And that's why I do deserve the brachas. I'm not a faker. I'm a garti. I live there as a ger. I did not live there as a person who actually became part of their society. And that's why I do deserve the brachas. And that's why you have no right to hate me for taking the brachas. I deserve the brachas. Says Yaakov, maybe I didn't become part of society because I'm a nebuch. And nobody wants to be part of, you know, bring me into society. So Yaakov, what are you talking about? I was the most successful businessman there. I got showing Boko, I got everything. I had everything people were wanting to connect with me for. I was highly successful in everything I was doing. And still, guarantee, I remain there as an outsider because I wanted nothing to do with these people. And therefore, ultimately, I'm showing you that I deserve the brachas. I'm not a faker. I'm absolutely, absolutely committed to the Torah, and therefore I deserve the brachas. You have no right to hate me for that. That was Yaakov's message. In other words, Tzatzlater says a person has an obligation, as best they can, to deflate the legitimacy of anti-Semitism by reason. And that's what Yaakov tried to do. But Lamaisa, Rabbi Yisai, that only happened in the time of Yaakov and Esau. The Gemara brings down, in Shabbos, the Gemara says, why is Sinai called Sinai? Rav Huna says, my Har Sinai, why is it called Har Sinai? Har Shiyodo Sinu La'akum Olof, a mountain where the hatred came down to Klal Yisrael on it. Gemara brings down Shabbos of Peites Amud Aleph. In other words, Sinai is from the word sinner, from hatred. Today, there's absolutely no legitimacy and no reasoning behind the hatred of Goyim Hafar. Sometimes there is. Okay, sometimes there is. If a Jew stands up and steals billions of dollars in some scam from Goyim, there's a reason to hate Jews. But even without that, you can have cases where there's absolutely no reason behind why a Goy should hate a Jew, and it's there. Rabbi Zev Left says once he was stuck in his, he borrowed an old banger from a friend of his, and he was driving through America, and in the Midwest somewhere, in one-eye town, in some redneck town, his car broke down. Anyway, so he's driving in there, and all these guys, you know, really didn't feel very comfortable there. Anyway, so he comes to a mechanic shop, and it's one of those dusty mechanic shops, and the guy's got a filthy, dirty overall there, and his greasy hands. And So Rav Lev comes out, he's got his hat on and his frack, you know, the whole regalia, and he says, can you fix my car for me? Yeah, no problem, he fixed the car for me, and that. He says, but listen there, boy, you know, you've got to pay me at the end, don't Jew me! You know, Jew me is, you know what that Jew me means, right? So he says, no, I won't Jew you. No, it's okay, no. He said, by the way, do you know what a Jew is? I don't know what a Jew is. He said, I'm Jewish. You're not Jewish. You're Amish. You're not Jewish.
Amish.
What do you mean? I'm not Jewish. I'm telling you, I'm Jewish. You're not Jewish. Yeah. You're joking. You're not Jewish. How do you know I'm not Jewish? I saw you took your hat off. You don't have horns. And everyone knows Jews have horns. The guy had never seen a Jew in his life, and he still knew the term, don't Jew me. It's built into the system. I spoke to somebody who's got a non-Jewish family. He's a guy from a non-Jewish family. He said he was by a family party once, and one of his brothers was furious. He was sitting on a bus, and there's this Jew sitting in front of the bus going, just reading from a book. And he's like, what's he doing reading from a book in front of a bus? He said, what do you mean? A lot of people read from books in front of the bus. No, but just reading to himself, reading. He said, what's the matter? What's going on? So what's up? People love to read in front of the bus. Yeah, but just sitting there by himself, reading. You know, like fuming. So what's so annoying about that? Yeah, but this Jew just sitting there in front of a bus. Ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. But that is, it's built into the system. Esav Soynes Yaakov Halacha. It's a halacha. In other words, as Ronson Gates said, and there anti-Semitism is flourishing. And I said to somebody, you know, these goyim, you know, are such terrible goyim. He said, what do you mean terrible goyim? The wonderful goyim. They're keeping the halacha perfectly. Esav Soynes Yaakov. The mamish keeping halacha to the T of Esav Soynes Yaakov. He's a mamish law-abiding goyim. Yeah? Esav Soynes Yaakov, in other words, is built into the genetics of a goy. They hate Jews. And they may never see a Jew in their life, but they hate the Jew. They know he's supposed to hate the Jew, and they actually do. And therefore, reasoning with them is not going to help. It's a supernatural hatred. And therefore, the only way to fight that is supernaturally. It's to fight them on their level, on a supernatural level. And therefore, we have to work with them on their level of supernatural. So we discussed many times in the past. Im novan garti, v'tarag nisa shamati, v'lo lemadati v'maisa v'roim. What's his two elements here? Lovan garti, I live with lovan, v'tarag nisa shamati, I kept the tarag mitzvahs, I kept all the 630 mitzvahs, v'lo lemadati v'maisa v'roim. I never learnt from their bad deeds. Obviously, if you get the 613 mitzvahs, you never learnt from the bad deeds. Mr. Shamati, I never learned from the bad deeds. Obviously, if you get 630 mitzvahs, obviously never learned from the bad deeds. Say the Bala Musa, there's two things. There's Tarek Mr. Shamati, and Loi Lamadti Maisa Varoim. You can keep all the 630 mitzvahs, and be absolutely not a Jew. You can keep Tarek mitzvahs. You can keep everything. You can have a glut, kosher Christmas party. You can have a Trump band that has all Jewish music, only Jewish words. But is it Torah? You can have a house that the football goes on, the game goes on, the Shabbos afternoon on the time switch. Absolutely comes a halacha with a time switch, maybe doesn't even have sound or whatever it is. Absolutely comes a halacha. But is that Torah? You can have Tarek Mitzvah Shemati, you can have a bar mitzvah where a lot more is based on the bar than the mitzvah. But that's it. You have glatt kosher, cruises without separate dancing and glatt kosher food, and everything is exactly the same as goyim, but it's Jewish. Glatt kosher goyim. Says Yaakov, Tarek mitzvah shemati, v'loy lemadati v'maisav haroyim. I kept a Tarek mitzvah and I never became a goy. I never had the hashkofa of a goy. Today we're living in a world where you have glatt kosher bacon. And we want to make ourselves as much as we possibly can like a goy, but in a Jewish way. We've got to be supernatural. We've got to be over and above. Not only keeping the mitzvahs, but actually loving Klal Yisrael. Loving the mitzvahs in a way that we will have absolutely nothing to do with the goyim. The Pasuk says, How did Yaakov keep separate from Lavan? How did he do it all these years? Not be affected one iota. He appeared to me like a shoiv chamoyer. Vayehi li, he appeared to me like a shoiv chamoyer. He appeared to me like a donkey and like an ox. I have no relationship with him. I can't have a relationship with my donkey. And therefore the goyim, however look however well dressed they are, and however polite they may be, a person ought not to be influenced by them by he li shoiv chamoyu. You've got to see them as totally different to who you are. You're a human being, and they're shoiv chamoyu. Okay? So that is the supernatural. Number one, tarik mitzvah shmata l'matir ma'isav roi means that you've got to learn not only to keep the mitzvahs, but not to learn from the ma'isav roi.
Right, you're comparing going to animals.
We have to, no, we are comparing the idea of not having a relationship. You don't have, you know, you don't have an ox as your kavrusa. Your person doesn't marry an ox yet. But the relationship, there's no relationship. You can be very, you have to be very polite, and you mustn't steal from the chas v'sholem. You have to make a kiddush Hashem. But the relationship you have, treating them as an equal, as a, on a relationship basis, is very, very, very dangerous, because it can rub off. It's incredible how much Jews got wiped away, the Jewish nation got wiped away by being miyad ochi. You know, in the 1000s, almost 900s, and historically, almost all the Jews lived in Sephardi countries. Whether it was in Mitzrayim, whether it was in Turkey, whether it was in Bobel, all lived in Sephardi countries. In the 1000s, Rashi and his Rebbeim and a generation or two beforehand moved over to Europe. That was the first generation of Jews. Okay? So in other words, out of that huge Jewish mass, a very, very tiny population moved over. Within 1,000 years, the vast majority of Jews in the world were Ashkenazim. Before the Second World War, the vast majority were Ashkenazim. Okay, a very small minority were Sephardim. Hitler wiped out a vast majority of Ashkenazim, and now we're more or less, I don't know exactly the numbers, more or less the same. But what happened? What happened? Why was it that the Sephardim seemed to go down and Ashkenazim went up? What happened there? Very simple. The Sephardim lived amongst cultured people. The Portuguese, the Spanish. They were all very, very cultured people. And they got sucked into the system. They became like them. They intermarried. They're amongst very, very intellectual, very highly trained, very highly motivated, scholastically. Society is very, very into those kind of things, and therefore they got pulled away. The Jews, they were in Poland. They had next door neighbors were drunkard goyim. They don't have a relationship with them, and therefore they were kept by themselves. They were kept totally disconnected from the goyim, and therefore they survived in assimilation. Very, very dangerous. Having a relationship with people who are you respect is the easiest form of assimilation, and that is what happens in Klal Yisrael. Yad Ochim Yad Esav. I just want to finish up with one verse over here.
How does it apply to our peasants?
With Ishmael?
Yeah, how does
it adapt to... Esav is the goyim. Esav is the goyim. There's a whole shadow whether Ishmael has a right of hating us as much as Esav. That's a really different discussion, but probably he does. Probably has even more of a right to hate us, because we did more bad to him than we did to Esav. We kicked him out of the house. We never kicked Esav out of the house.
But that was...
Just one final thought. Miad Yochim Ad Esav, I talked about it in the past. Living as supernaturally is not only living as a Jew Tarig Mitzvahs and keeping all the mitzvahs in a way that we don't become Glat Kosher Goyim. The Shor Santi used to say, Halavai, I did the mitzvahs with the same passion that the Rishoyim do Averis. He said, the fact that Apikorsim hate us, Tamid HaChachomim, less then we hate them, is because we look at evil in a less harsh light than they look at good. In other words, we have to keep the Torah with the same amount of passion for the good as the Rishoyim have for the bad. Says Yaakov, Im lovon garti, I live with lovon, but tarik mitzvah shemati, kept all the tarik mitzvahs, but oivei, v'loi lemati v'maishav haroim, I never learnt to keep the mitzvahs with the same geschmack, with the same passion as Lovan did with his bad. You know, unfortunate. Halavai could have learned, Halavai would have learned to do the good acts with the same amount of passion he does with the bad acts. The world today has such a phenomenal amount of kishun, of creativity, and money goes into entertainment business today. A person takes a film from nothing and create a fantastic film, a fantastic movie. It's unbelievable. The creativity. Where is that creativity in Kiruv? Where is that creativity in Torah? Where is that creativity to help change one's life and become an Eilech Yid? How does one do that? One's got to learn the passion. These people are in it, the whole head, the whole love, the whole life is all about creativity. We've got to learn to take that creativity and love what we do with the same creativity and become to be the Chachomim, to become Bnei Torah. The Leilimatim Maish of Rome is a krech. Yaakov says, oh, I kept everything, but I never learned to be bad. I never learned to be good, how he learned to be bad. And this is Rishol Salanta. And this is the idea over here. Number one, we have the focus that Yaakov Avinu is not only telling us about what happened then, the Torah is telling us that what's going to happen then, at the time of Yaakov and Esau, is going to happen to all future generations. It's all about anti-Semitism. There's Yad Ochi Miyad Esau. On the other hand, of anti-Semitism, there is assimilation, where goyim bring us in. Also very dangerous. One idea is, like Safsleta says, attempt as best we can to explain, to develop our side of dialect in order to show them that you have no legitimacy in hating us that much. On the other hand, we have the Gemara that says that it's totally supernatural that they hate us. It is within their genes. And therefore we have to work on a double level of supernatural. Number one, to be supernatural within Torah, not only keep Torah, but actually become proper Bnei Torah, actually make it a part of us, not become Chas V'Shalom Glat Kosher Goyim, but Glat Kosher Yidden, number one. And secondly, to keep the Torah with such a passion that we should love doing the good as much as the Rishoyim love doing the bad. And this is the Ezra Hashem that will help us over a very, very dangerous time of a year Yaakov Yehoid Vayetzeloi. The chusim that the Yishmaelim have is incredible. It's incredible. And therefore we have to work with the best we can in supernatural to fight this element of Sakona, which the whole world and certainly Klal Yisrael are in danger.
Very good point.